on radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers, this is Invest Talk. Independent thinking, shared success. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to Invest Talk. This is our Tuesday, August 19th, 2025 edition, and this is going to be a very interesting show. I'm this excited for a show in a while, mainly because our main focus point, which we do line up a couple days beforehand, kind of hits on some market reaction today. It is a very interesting day for markets, a very different day than we've seen in a little while, really since the first quarter of the year. But it's also not surprising. I've been kind of calling for some sort of increased market volatility in August and September, part of it's being overbought, part of it's seasonality, part of it's valuation, part of it's liquidity. There are multiple factors that go into this. So I'm going to bring this all together for you this hour, talking about what is happening in today's market, how maybe you should think about rebalancing your portfolio. Going back to yesterday's topic, we talked about you don't want to chase returns and you often get caught up in hype. That's the nature of human, it's human nature. And then, you know, it doesn't mean you don't trade, but it also means that you rebalance and you manage risk. And that's what this show is really about every day. We're not here to bang bells and whistles like Kramer. We're not here to just spew hype around particular companies or sectors. We're here to bring you back down to earth of what works over longer term periods. Yes, you can trade and you can make some big returns over short periods of time, but that's not really what the investment world, the financial world, the equity world is about, right? It's about consistently making returns year after year. You're going to have down years, you're going to make mistakes, but if you can compound your returns consistently, then this is a road to financial independence, financial success. And so that's what every day on Invest Talk is really about. And sometimes there are interesting days, like today. Sometimes there are very boring days. Actually, that was yesterday. We talked about that. Not much movement, but it just shows you any day, anything can happen. And so we're here to unpack that and help bring you lessons that can help you become a better investor and improve the performance of your portfolios and your broader financial picture. Now, we do this mainly by answering your finance and investment questions and giving you actionable perspective and data that can improve your situation. Now, in just a bit, we'll talk about today's market performance, like I said, and run down the show topics. But first, let's tackle this caller question now.
It's Steven in Lubbock. I had a question on Encore Capital Group, ECPG. Just curious what you guys have to say. Thanks a lot. Bye.
All right. Looking at Encore Capital Group. This is actually a name we used to own for clients, but sold it some years back. And what they basically do is they purchase bad debt from banks. And they go and collect it, right? You're talking about delinquent credit cards, car loans, whatever the bank has, customers have fallen behind on the consumer side, and they want to get rid of. And at a certain point, they just sell it off to debt collectors. And Encore Capital Group is one of the largest public debt collectors out there. Now, historically, they've had pretty good profitability. The issue as of late, and this is an interesting one, because when times are good, they don't do that well because consumers have good balance sheets. They have jobs. Most of them are paying on their loans, and there's not a lot of loans to buy. And well, the ones they do buy, these are for consumers that are really down the dumps, so they're not really collecting much. And so they lost money in 2023, 2024. Supposed to make $7.97 this year. That would be good. Earnings have come back over the last couple of quarters. So this would be a play if you were feeling we're definitely going into a deeper recession. That's where I would buy it. I think we're a ways. As I said before, we're in the latter innings of this growth phase, but there's still time on the clock. So I would be patient with it. It's something maybe I pick up next year, but it's still in the downtrend, and I would be, once again, I'd be patient and probably pick up sometime next year because it is fairly well run, has good profitability, good balance sheet, etc. So name on the watch list, but I would wait for the economic situation to deteriorate in a bigger way. Now, we have a lot of ground to cover over the next 45 minutes or so, and my main focus point is about value investing and how it's finally excelling again in 2025, but not here domestically. It's in foreign stocks. So international stocks in general have outpaced U.S. domestic equities so far this year. But some people might say, well, yeah, but the growth side of the market has had a huge comeback since the April lows. It's doing really well on the back of AI, all of that. But even considering that, even if you just look at U.S. growth, international value is still outperforming that. So that's an interesting shift, and it could tell you a lot more about some emerging trends in the broader equity markets, not just domestically, but worldwide as well. On top of that, we have other topics, and this is the big one, which is the AI winter. Talked about this recently, that the parallels between now and the telecom boom in the late 90s around fiber optic build out and capacity there, there's definitely some parallels. There's always differences, but there are a lot of parallels also. And there's usually an inflection point. With that, it was WorldCom going bankrupt. Now, that doesn't mean you have to have a company go bankrupt, but there certainly can be disappointments. And there are a couple of recent disappointments that are telling you a lot about maybe the sentiment that is shifting within the AI space. And today is a good example of the potential manifestation of the sentiment shift. So we'll look at that story. Also, the Fed is set to cut rates next month. We know we have Jackson Hole this week, and certainly the speech by Jerome Powell on Friday will likely precipitate some sort of market reaction. And a lot of people say, well, the Fed's going to cut rates and borrowing costs are going to go down. And the answer to that is maybe. So what we're going to look at are some studies of what does a cut in the Fed funds rate mean for the 10-year treasury rate? Because that's the proxy for most borrowing in the economy. You're talking about mortgages. You're talking about your HELOC. You're talking about the rate that companies pay when they borrow money, etc. So we'll look at that story and what the statistics about the past tell us. And then lastly, can the top 10% of income earners in this country continue to drive consumer spending going forward? So we'll look at that story. We also have voice bank calls. Those are always most important. Your phone calls are always most important. So I encourage you to call. We love your live calls between 4 and 5 Pacific time. So don't hesitate to reach out if you are listening live or after hours. That's great too. And we have some voice bank questions, one on gains and taxes and the other is on Deere and Company. And then we have questions that came in via the comment section over on the InvestTalk YouTube channel as well. Now we're going to head into a quick break, but I welcome your finance and investment questions right now. No question is too simple or too complex. You set the agenda on InvestTalk. So give us a call now at 888-99-CHART.
The prosperous future you envision for yourself and your family will not happen without strategic planning and definitive action.
Let's go to Brian in San Mateo looking at Roku.
And I wanted your take on the technical picture.
For the unprepared investor, market volatility around the world demonstrates risk. But opportunities wait for no one. And now may be the best time in years to invest wisely, to invest strategically.
What I would do is keep saving and look for other opportunities.
But how can you decide what sectors to avoid, which stocks to buy, and what might be the best price point?
I'm new to investing, and my friend Wesley recommended your podcast a year ago.
The next decisive step on your path to financial freedom begins with a Spotify search for InvestTalk. Listen live or download the free podcast.
Hiring shouldn't be a hassle, nor a drain on your budget, right? Okay, then maybe you should look into Upwork. Upwork is a one-stop shop to find, hire, and pay top freelance talent. Upwork can save you time and help keep costs in check. The truth is, scaling your business requires the right expertise at the right time. With Upwork, you can find specialized freelancers in marketing, development, design, and more. Experts who are ready to help you take your business to the next level. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. There's no cost to join, so you can register and then browse freelancer profiles. Plus, you can get help drafting a job post and even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that understand you. Upwork makes the entire process easier, simpler, and more affordable, with industry-low fees. So, post a job today and hire tomorrow with Upwork. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That is Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
Have you heard about the new InvestTalk store? That's right, you'll find great merch for the savvy investor. It's all there for you now at InvestTalkStore.com. And now Justin Klein is here and taking your finance and investment questions live. Call InvestTalk 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278 is how you get through and ask your question on today's show. Now, let's go and check in on the market today. And as I said at the top of the show, it was a very interesting day. Overall, the Dow ended positive, barely 10 points. But you had the NASDAQ down 314 points, down 1.46%. S&P down about 60 basis points, 37 points there. And if you look at what drove the market down, it was large cap growth and small cap growth. Large cap growth, according to Morningstar, down 1.67%, and small cap growth down about 1.25%. So that was the driver. You had, if you look at the heat map of the, and if you're watching on YouTube, you'll see these. NVIDIA down 3.5%, Broadcom down 3.5%, Meta down 2%. Amazon down 1.5%, Oracle down 5.8%, Palantir down 9.3%, Tesla down 1.75%, and so on. But the breadth was actually good. Most stocks were actually up today. So it was a rotation. This is part of that story I'll bring to you here in a little bit. It's just they're starting to be a sentiment shift. And with the market so heavily weighted towards those Mag 7 names, you're really tied. The market's going to be really tied to the sentiment around AI. Now, if you look at the Mag 7, Mag 7 is 38% of the market. Okay. And today, really, was only Apple that hung in there. Apple was still down, but only 14 basis points there. So a slight down day. Everything else was down 1% roughly or more. But if you look at, like, healthcare was up, consumer staples up, industrials were higher. There really wasn't a sector that struggled beyond tech. Really wasn't another sector besides tech that struggled. Well, that's pulling up, and I can give you that. I'll give you what the rest of the asset classes did. Treasuries were a bit stronger. You had rates down a little bit, 2 to 4 basis points across the curve. Dollar was up 0.1%, so not much movement there. Gold finished down 0.6%, and Bitcoin futures down 2.7%. And WTI was down 1.7% as well. So what's interesting is Bitcoin prices. I talked about this, I believe, yesterday, that the weakness over the weekend was very interesting. We kind of, you know, we tried to break out into the mid-120s on Bitcoin, and that quickly reversed and hung back down into the, you know, about the 115 level. And 112 is kind of the big support. And now we're hanging right around 113 as we speak right now. And so the fact that that's starting to break a little bit, that is usually a canary in the coal mine of liquidity, as well as has high correlation to the broader tech sector. And so the fact that that's now, it just broke 113, 112, 932 right now. So you're definitely seeing some weakness overall. And that's why now I have the sectors up. You have telecom was down technology was down 1.7% today. Communications, which is kind of an offshoot, right? There's a lot of, you know, Meta and Google in there, 0.6% down on that front. Everything else was flat up. So it wasn't a bad day in the markets. It was just a bad day for tech or communications and anything AI related. And, you know, it's hard to call a top, but, you know, when you have this sentiment extreme and then you have this big shift in one day, it's something that, you know, it makes me stand up and notice. And if we get follow through tomorrow, that could be the end of this recent cycle in the AI stocks. So just understand that this was a day that you have to pay attention to and be on the lookout for tomorrow for a follow through. If you get another decent down day in that space, I think the top might be in. Now we're moving to a break, still to come, my focus point, and more answers to your questions. So anything that's on your mind, give me a call now at 888-99-CHART.
Got a question for Justin or Luke? You're the best person to ask it.
Is it a good idea to sell your losses in a Roth IRA and just use whatever you have left to reinvest into better stocks?
InvestTalk is ready 24/7.
I would really appreciate if you could give me an entry point for a company called Medtronic, MDT.
Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART, or post your questions on the InvestTalk YouTube channel.
...2025 rolls on, and you've got finance and investment questions for Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero. Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Now, our main focus point on InvestTalk today is about how value investing is finally excelling in 2025, but there's one catch, and it's the fact that it's in international equities. Now, overall, international stocks have outperformed U.S. equities so far this year. And it's even if you look at just the growth side of the market, it's still outperforming, okay? International value equities have remained well ahead of the pack, even with that resurgence in AI stocks to, you know, post-April, right? And now, international equities in general are slanted more towards value, the value side of the market. Just as if you bought the S&P or any broad index that's U.S. focused, you're pretty much slanting towards the growth side of the market. So you have to always understand that. Now, periods where international value stocks have outperformed U.S. stocks are pretty common. Right. Are pretty uncommon, excuse me. And you have to look at 2022. Obviously, you had NASDAQ was down 33%. The S&P was down nearly 20%. That was a year where value certainly outperformed and international value, definitely. But before that, you have to go back to 2016 when that happened. And that was really driven by a rise in energy stocks and financials. Okay, so those type of names tend to be slanted more towards the value side of the market. And that's why international indexes tend to have a lot more value type names because they tend to be more large banks, international energy names, etc. And not a lot of tech, right? There's not a lot of tech innovation outside of the United States. Now the question is, when will this translate to outperformance of value here in the United States? Because when international tends to outperform, value domestically also tends to outperform. So it's kind of odd to see that international value outperform domestic growth, but not domestic value outperform domestic growth. And the answer, I think, really comes down to what I said is, when is that inflection point around AI? You know, earlier this year, you had the DeepSeek. Remember that DeepSeek news? And that really kind of took the wind out of AI a little bit. And you started to see utilities, consumer staples, your traditional value type names start to outperform. And what's interesting is today is another one of those days. And could this be the start? Right, the best performers today were REITs, consumer staples, and utilities. Think about that. Those were all up 1% or more as a sector on a day where the NASDAQ was down nearly 1.5%. So that's very interesting, and this could be the start of that. Now, another aspect to value outperforming often is M&A activity. So there are a couple factors that will spark more M&A activity. Number one, lower rates. So if the Fed goes on an easing cycle, and it does translate into lower interest rates, which I'll talk about later, may or may not, that could drive more M&A activity. But also profitability. A lot of times when businesses profit slow, how do they spur profit growth? You can do that organically by investing in the business and trying to grow the business, or you can do it through acquisition. And a lot of times when you see corporate profits slow, that's where M&A activity tends to pick up, especially if interest rates are reasonable, the cost of capital is reasonable. So that's kind of the story here of when value will outperform. It hasn't quite yet, but you know, today maybe the start of that trend, especially if we get follow through tomorrow. Now, every day we receive questions from the comment section over on the Invest Talk YouTube channel. Here's one that came in earlier. Lindsay says, what are your thoughts on the short-term rental market? Are there good opportunities for investments in short-term rental properties out there, or is the market too saturated at this point? Now, the first thing you have to understand about every real estate market is that it's localized. Now, there are general trends, and generally, the real estate market is slowing. But there are pockets of, you know, like in Denver, for example, Austin, Texas. These are markets that are very weak. Other markets, not quite as bad. Now, when it comes to short-term rental market, I'm very weary of that market, mainly because it hasn't really seen a true recession. The Airbnb, VRBO market, it was really in its infancy in 2008-09, right? I don't even know if it really existed at that point. Didn't really start taking off until, you know, the 2010s, mid-2010s. And if you buy at the right price and you buy in the right locale, there's not a lot of competition, you can make very good returns, but it's also kind of a headache. I've talked to friends, family that have these type of properties, and it's a lot of work. It's its own little business. It's basically a bed and breakfast. So that's what Airbnb stands for, right? It's air, bed, and breakfast. And so it's a lot of work, and you can get good returns, but you need to have the time and the discipline and the know-how to manage these properties. And then there are regulatory issues locally. Sometimes they change the laws and the rules, and that can hurt the value. You're seeing that, I think, in Palm Springs area right now. So are there opportunities? Sure. But you have to do your deep research and make sure you buy right, both on price and the right locale. Now, the next Invest Talk, we're looking into this topic. New student loan repayment policies following Trump's budget bill. That story tomorrow. But for now, I'm Justin Klein. I'm ready to take your calls now at 888-99-CHART.
You know what doesn't belong in your epic summer plans? Getting burned by your old wireless bill. While you're planning beach trips, barbecues, and three-day weekends, your wireless bill should be the last thing holding you back. Maybe you should make the switch to Mint Mobile. With Mint, you can get the coverage and speed you're used to, but for way less money. And for a limited time, Mint Mobile is offering 3 months of unlimited premium wireless service for $15 a month. So, while your friends are sweating over data overages and surprise charges, you'll be chilling, literally and financially. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text, delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. I like Mint Mobile, and I think you will too. This year, skip breaking a sweat and breaking the bank. Get this new customer offer and your 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month at mintmobile.com/investtalk. That's mintmobile.com/investtalk. Upfront payment of $45 required, equivalent to $15 a month. Limited time new customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds may slow above 35 gigabytes on unlimited plans. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details.
No matter what our day looks like, I think we can agree that we all need nourishment that fuels us, right? So let me tell you about Ka'Chava's Whole Body Meal Shakes. I'm really liking them. And bonus surprise, the Ka'Chava Shakes come in 5 delicious flavors. Chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, coconut acai. Variety is a good thing. And it's easy to incorporate Ka'Chava's Whole Body Meal Shakes into my daily routine. I like to personalize my Ka'Chava by adding nice touches like frozen blueberries, almond milk, creatine. For me, the idea is to mix it up while keeping my body and mind nourished all day. In fact, Ka'Chava is a whole body meal with plant-based protein that actually tastes delicious. In those 5 indulgent flavors I mentioned, you get 25 grams of 100% plant-based protein with every 2 scoops of Ka'Chava. You get 85 plus superfoods, nutrients, and plant-based ingredients. Ka'Chava is non-GMO. There are no artificial flavors, colors, or sweeteners. There's no soy, no animal products, no gluten, and no preservatives. You can even try Ka'Chava risk-free with their Love It guarantee. Fuel your day with Ka'Chava. Go to ka'chava.com and use code INVEST for 15% off your next order. That's Ka'Chava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, code INVEST for 15% off.
InvestTalk downloads have now surpassed 61 million. Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero provide unbiased answers to your finance and investment questions. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Justin, Luke, Chuck from Clayton, so appreciative for everything you've done for us. Here's my question. Listening to your advice over the last 10 so years, I've been pretty dang successful in my account. I have an investing account, as a straight investment account, and a traditional IRA. My understanding is, as we go to the later part of the year, and I move some of this into bonds and treasuries, expecting a little bit of a pullback, as I switch my investment account, whether I pull it out or turn around and put it right into bonds, I will have to pay taxes on my gain. Is that correct? And as I switch my traditional IRA and pull the money out, regardless of my gains, if I leave it in the traditional IRA and just move it into what my investment company gives me for stocks and bonds and treasuries, I do not have to play gains on that. I only play gains on that when I actually pull it out of the IRA, period. Does this all make sense? Looking forward to hearing your answer on the podcast. Thanks again for all of your advice and everything you've done for us.
Well, appreciate your kind words. And simple answer to your questions are yes. You know, with an IRA, whether you have a gain or a loss, the only tax implication is when you take the money out of it, okay? Or if you do a Roth conversion, and that is something you should talk about with your advisor, or if you want to call us, we can help you discuss that and what that planning should look like. So that is a strategy almost everyone should be looking at, some sort of Roth conversion strategy at some point, typically between retirement and taking Social Security or taking your RMDs, etc. So that's a deeper conversation, but you're right. Moving money in and out of whatever within an IRA is not a tax, does not create tax consequences. But on a taxable account, yeah, if you have a gain, you sell it. Hopefully you want to sell it at long-term capital gains, so you have a lower tax rate there. But you know, you have to consider that as part of the decision-making process, right? Just because we have a market pullback or maybe markets get a little rougher doesn't necessarily mean that you should be crystallizing those gains. Not a terrible idea, but It's in context to your full financial picture. So understand that as well. And hopefully your current advisor is helping you with that. If not, schedule a call with us. There you go. Now let's go with another YouTube comment question. And Selena Marie says, what are your thoughts on BWXT? I'm interested in investing in a nuclear holding that isn't a uranium miner. I already own CCJ. What is a good price to add to my position for a long-term hold? Well, it's interesting because we also own both of these names for many clients. CCJ is a uranium miner out of Canada, one of the largest in the world. But BWXT, a smaller name, we've owned this for a while. I think we bought it, I think, in the 60s, if I remember correctly. Now it's at 165. And earnings this year is supposed to be $3.73, $4.03 next year. And it's had a bit of a run. And to be frank, this is a name that we're thinking about trimming a little bit at these valuations, especially with the pivot towards of maybe some wind being taken out of the sails of AI. So not the best time to, I think, be picking it up. But obviously a very good company. But at 40 times forward-looking earnings, you know, it's looking a bit rich. Now, what do? They manufacture power generation systems and nuclear components for U.S. governments, industrial, and utility applications. So we like that. It's part of that, you said, the nuclear renaissance. And over the long term, it's a name that we continue to like. But is this the time to be adding to it? Probably not. We'd want to add to it. I'll give you a price. In the 120, 115, 120, in that range would be a great place to pick up more BWX Technologies. BWXT is the symbol. And so if we get down into that, yeah, I would say start my position around 135 and then add to it as it if it dips down into the, you know, 120, 110 level. Okay. Thanks for the call. Or thanks for the question, should we say. Let's talk a little bit about AI. It's on the tip of everyone's tongue. Everyone's talking about AI. And we've seen throughout history with both AI and other technologies that there's hype. And often the hype goes too far. And there's some sort of event that calls into question that hype. And with AI, the most recent one was what happened with DeepSeek. And you had a large pullback in many of those AI names. Then you had Liberation Day. And after that, the market kind of reset. And the retail investor, who's very conditioned to buy the dip, they really put a lot of firepower behind these rallies in AI and AI adjacent names, including a lot of energy names. And so this is a day where you have to step back and think. And what was the catalyst here? What caused this sell-off today and potentially at least a near-term top that it brings a pullback similar to what happened with DeepSeek? Now, number one is ChatGPT-5. And this was a model that was really hyped up by Sam Altman and was supposed to be the next evolution in AI. But so far, it's been poorly received. And they actually rolled back this in some ways by making older models available again, basically saying, yeah, maybe it's not as good as advertised, and there's a lot of negative feedback, so if you don't want to use it, then here are the old models. So if it was great, obviously nobody will be asking for the old models, but they are. And so it's clear that, you know, that natural evolution that everyone's expecting that the AI to make just wasn't there. Altman claimed that GPT-5 was supposed to be like talking to somebody with a PhD. But there's a long list of tasks that have been tested on it where they failed. There was a scientist called Gary Marcus, and he wrote that, quote, by rights, Altman's reputation should by now be completely burned. And he listed a laundry list of basic tasks that GPT-5 failed to perform at even a reasonable level. And so that's number one, right? If your flagship model and software isn't evolving like everyone expected, well, what is the true application of this? Of this software, of this technology. And then there's CoreWeave. CoreWeave, a recent IPO that did very well originally, but had recent earnings, and it was down 25% last week because guidance was not very good. They actually said revenue growth is going to be outpaced by CapEx expenditures. Remember, CapEx is depreciated usually pretty fast, especially in this space. Then you have the lockup ending. So this is a good example of after 6 months, those insiders are able to sell, and there's been obviously a negative reaction there. And then you have a report by McKinsey and Company, a research outfit. And what they said was 8 out of 10 companies surveyed said they were implementing AI in their business in some way, and that's good. But just as many said they see no significant bottom line impact. And that's really the big worry here. Is that all this money being spent? There's about $350 billion in CapEx just this year by the hyperscalers, talking about Alphabet, Meta, Amazon, and what's the other one? Microsoft. And all that has to, at some point, translate into a lot of revenue. Not a little revenue, a lot of revenue. And recently, Sam Altman said, quote, you should expect OpenAI to spend trillions of dollars. Trillions of dollars. So if they're spending, heading towards trillions of dollars, and their next model isn't much better than the previous model, and it seems like in some ways could be worse, is this money really going to translate to the bottom line? And so there's a bit of a chill in the air, right? Around the progress of AI and its true real-world applications. There already are real-world applications. We use these models in our research, and definitely is helpful. But in many ways, the souped-up search engine, right? And that's very useful in a lot of applications. But it's still falling short of the hype. Now, the next iteration or next area of hype around AI will be around AI agents. Will they be as promised? We shall see. So, it's starting to look like there needs to be some real-world usefulness urgently. Or you might start to see that next kind of AI winter upon us, kind of similar to what you've seen in the crypto winter space, right? Where crypto winter lasts many months, maybe quarters, even a year plus, and the hype kind of fades, and then it eventually turns around. I think that's what you probably will see in AI. But some of those names will probably fade forever and others will come back. Kind of similar to what happened with the dot-com bubble, right? You had the fade, many of them faded forever, your web vans of the world, and some survived and did great things like Amazon. Now let's pivot to the InvestTalk voice bank for a question that came in earlier from Southern California on 888-99-CHART.
This is Frank from Los Angeles. I just wanted to ask you about Avalon Bay, ticker symbol AVB. I would love to get your opinion on it, and if you have a price target where you think it could be good to pick some up, that would be appreciated. I also wanted to ask you how you see this sector compared to manufactured housing rates. Do you think that in this environment, manufactured housing rates might perform relatively better than residential rates? Thanks so much, and I'll be listening on the show.
Well, I would say I like both spaces, but Avalon Bay is a name we actually own for clients. We're actually looking at potentially picking up for another strategy. We have it in one strategy now. We're looking to potentially pick it up in another strategy, so it's kind of on the table for discussion at the moment. So we definitely like it at these prices. And for everyone else, they are a real estate investment trust and they are an apartment REIT and one of the best run apartment REITs out there, especially when you look at its profitability, return equity around 10%, which for a REIT is very high, especially when their cost of capital tends to be around half that. And their free cash flow, $1.4 billion on a market cap of $27 billion. So decent free cash flow yield there. Their cash dividend payout ratio is only 70%. So certainly room for that dividend to be sustained and likely go up. And they paused their dividend growth in 2022 and reestablished that growth in 2023. So we like that it's starting to grow that dividend once again. Very solid balance sheet, very solid balance sheet. And like I said, one of the best run apartment REITs out there. So we like AvalonBay, especially after this pullback. And we think it's at pretty good support. And its enterprise value to EBIT is right around a little under 20. And historically, it bottoms around 19 enterprise value to EBITDA over the past decade. That's the low end of the range. So it's right there, not far from it. So we think it's a great value at these levels. And I would give AvalonBay a thumbs up. Now let's play another question now.
This is Mark from Fountain, Michigan. Relatively new listener. Just wonder what you thought about John Deere here. I'm slowly building a position, rather small right now. Started the first part of July. I'm already up for him. But I am a long-term investor, like Deere story. And just thought I'd like to hear your opinion. Thank you.
All right. Looking at John Deere. D-E is the symbol. And I guess they call it Deere and Company now. It's no longer John Deere. But for everyone else out there, they manufacture and distribute equipment used in agriculture, construction, forestry, and turf care. So $132 billion market cap. Historically, a very solid business. Return equity is right around 22%. That is definitely down from its 2023 highs. It was at 47%. But over the long term, this is kind of right near the long-term average of its profitability. So I like that. I like that you're not over-earning at the current time. Free cash flow is about $4 billion. That is also down from its 2021 high, around $6 billion, but still very, very robust, especially when you look at that market cap of $432 billion, and you're talking about a 3% free cash flow yield. Not amazing, but okay. Dividend yield, 1.3%. Its enterprise value to EBITDA right around 16, which is a bit elevated. And that's what worries me a little bit. I do think it's a bit too expensive for its growth. You know, earnings are supposed to be down 27% this year to $18.59. And next year's supposed to earn $20.79. But both of those estimates for this year and next year are coming lower. And I don't like that either. They have a little bit of debt on their balance sheet. Don't like that with the cost of capital going up. And the technicals, you just had a bit of a drop here after earnings. It's still an uptrend, but I just don't like the valuations here. So something to keep on the watch list, but I'm passing on John Deere for now. This is InvestTalk. I'm Justin Klein. We have one goal here each and every weekday. It's to help you achieve your own version of financial freedom. And our work continues after this final break. So get your questions in right now at 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk. Tell your friends they can listen live, download the free podcast, or watch InvestTalk on our YouTube channel.
Now, the Fed is set to cut interest rates for the first time this year, next month. And investors are excited about it, excited about the prospects of lower borrowing costs. And certainly helping the optimism around the economic growth continuing. But should investors really anticipate lower borrowing costs beyond just short-term rates? I'm talking about the 10-year treasury rate. That is tends to be the proxy for mortgages, loans on businesses, and paying interest on the national debt as well. But research by DataTrek found that the 10-year yield does decline when the Fed cuts policy rate. But if the economy isn't in a recession, it's actually a more mixed picture. There are 9 periods since 1989 when the Fed made a series of cuts to the Fed funds rate. And the periods outside of recession, 50-50 chance that rates will go up or go down. On average, the decline was 10 basis points, 0.1%. That's in non-recessionary periods. And right now, we're not in a recession, at least it seems like it. Maybe the economy's slowing, etc., but overall, not in a recession. The 2 times that it went up when the Fed cut rates were 1998, think dot-com bubble 1.0, and last year, still in the midst of the AI craze. And so just because the Fed will cut rates, maybe even start a series of rate cuts, does not mean the 10-year yield will go down, which means your mortgage rates won't necessarily go down. And remember, 70% of outstanding Treasury debt are longer dated. Talking about non-T-bills, okay? Now, Ned Davis research says the 10-year rate typically declines ahead of the Fed rate cut. The median decline of the 10-year over the 63 trading days, so that's within this window, before the Fed cuts rates, is actually 31 basis points. Now, so far this month, rates are down, kind of anticipating that rate cut. So this isn't a clear-cut case of, you know, the Fed's the 10-year is going to go one way or the other. But what it's telling you is that in a non-recessionary period, it's kind of a crapshoot. And, you know, I would lean on rates actually going up. Why? Because, A, inflation. We haven't had this inflation since the 70s. Like this kind of incipient inflation that we're feeling, right? And so that's one aspect. And then there's just the national debt, the total debt that we have, which we haven't seen since really the 1940s and 50s. And so with that backdrop and a non-recessionary environment, I would lean that rates on the 10-year will actually rise. Now, does that mean they have to rise dramatically? No. But it wouldn't give relief to the national debt picture, right? The interest on the debt, which that's something obviously President Trump is trying to manufacture, is put pressure on the Fed to cut rates and get borrowing costs down and reduce the cost of the overall debt. But unless the Treasury just wants to issue on the short end, which they certainly could do, right? It's happening right now. They're issuing very little longer dated securities and issuing mainly on the short end. And so as those mature consistently and the Fed cuts rates, that will lower the cost of the debt. But that's just on that short term. Usually the short term is about 25. I think we're up to 30% of our debt is now on T-bills stuck in 1 year or less in maturity. But that means, like I said, 70% is longer dated. And so just a Fed rate cut does not necessarily translate into lower mortgage rates or other borrowing rates across the economy. I'm Justin Klein. This has been another episode of Invest Talk. And if today's show made you think about your own financial picture in any way, I encourage you to head over to investtalk.com, click on the portfolio review button, and schedule a call. No cost portfolio review. They'll bring clarity and confidence to whatever you're doing, whatever your goals are. We are here to help and guide you. So don't hesitate. It's absolutely free. We thank you for listening. We encourage you to tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads and get yours anytime at iTunes, Spotify, or watch our videos and post your questions over on our YouTube channel. Please be sure to rate and review on iTunes as well. Independent thinking, shared success. It's InvestTalk. Good night.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.